No, I'm good.
Life's good, man. I must have
heard. I complained enough that we got chocolate again.
Okay.
Sorry,
Rick, would you like to get here? There we go. Okay.
You know,
what's my agenda?
I told myself I wasn't going to do this.
I don't, me either. Call the special meeting of the Board of Directors of Town of Discovery Bay to order. Carol, will you call roll, please?
President Graves?
Here.
Vice President Steele?
Here.
Director Dawson?
Here.
Director Simon?
Here.
Director Tatro?
Yes.
Thank you. This is time for public comment. If there is anybody, if any of you people out there in the audience would like to make a comment, this is the time for you to do so. Anybody want to step forward?
I object. It's a packed house.
Okay. Public comment is closed. I would at this point ask counsel if he would please take us from open session to closed session.
Thank you, President Graves, board members. The board is now convening into closed session to address action items D1 and D2. The facts and circumstances for the two items under item D2 are as follows. For one case involves a claim filed under the Claims Act for damages caused to a driveway and landscaping involving a water leak at an address of 4100 Windward Court in Discovery Bay that occurred earlier this year. The claimant is seeking $4,000 in damage. Last year. I forgot. We're in 2012 now. The second closed session item under D2 is that the Hoffman Land Company has served a claim pursuant to the Claims Act seeking a return of assessments dating back to 2007, alleging that its vacant lots were wrongfully assessed by the district. Thank you, sir.
Okay, you shouldn't be any discussion at this point. I would ask counsel to bring us back into open session, please.
Thank you, President Graves, board members. The board has reconvened.
What?
The board has reconvened back into open session regarding closed session items D1 and D2. All five board members were present during the entirety of the closed session. Regarding item D1, there's no reportable action. On item D2, on the one case involving the Hoffman Land Development Company, that claim by a unanimous vote of 5-0 is deemed rejected and untimely in part. Regards to the second case involving Windward Court, the address of 4100 Windward Court, by unanimous vote, the matter is being tendered to the district's insurance company. Thank you, sir.
Then at this point, I would adjourn the special session meeting. Well,
7 o'clock.
It is at 7 o'clock.
What's the issue again?
I'd like to call this regular meeting of the Board of Directors of the Town of Discovery Bay to order, please. Would you please all rise and join me in the Pledge of Allegiance?
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the Republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you. Roll call, please, Carol.
President Graves.
I'm here.
Vice President Steele.
Here.
Director Dawson.
Here.
Director Simon.
Here.
Director Tatro.
Here.
Thank you very much. This is our time for public comments. If there's anybody that's in the audience that would like to make or bring an issue to light that is not something that's listed on the agenda, this would be your time to come to the microphone and do that. Do we have any public comment? Okay, hearing none, seeing none, time for public comment is closed. This is our first meeting of the Board of Directors at the beginning of the year, so I'd like to officially say Happy New Year to everybody and welcome you here. I hope you had a great holiday season and a good time with your family and friends. What we do at this meeting is we appoint officers of the board for the upcoming year, and that is the first thing on the agenda, item C. So under item C, I would like to open, first of all, a couple of procedural things. The way it works is that we take nominations from the board. The nominations are then voted on in the order that they were accepted. And a nomination does not need a second, so you don't have to sit around and wait for it to be seconded. Correct, counsel?
Yes, sir.
Thank you. So the nominations are now open for the position of president, and I personally would like to nominate Chris Steele for that position. I feel that I have a lot of confidence in his ability, and I know he does his homework, and so I'd like to make that nomination myself. Are there any other nominations for president?
I'd like to nominate Ray Tetchel.
Okay. Any other nominations? The nominations are closed. We vote on... Oh, public comment, please. Any comments from the public on the nominations? Okay, hearing none. We vote for these as they go, correct? We don't put the slate through. Okay, so the first nomination was for Chris Steele. All those in favor of Chris Steele for president, please indicate by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed?
Opposed.
Opposed.
The vote is 3-2, and the motion carries. And Director Steele is now, Vice President Steele is now president. Will be, as soon as I complete this procedure, President Steele. Now we would, the next appointment that's up for, or the next position that's up for appointment is Vice President, and the nominations are open for Vice President.
I'd like to nominate Kevin Graves for Vice President.
Any other nominations for Vice President? Okay, nominations are closed. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed?
No.
No.
Same vote, 3-2. Did you... Oh, I'm sorry, with public, I forgot to go to the public on that. So any comments from the public? Okay, I apologize, guys. Then we have one other position available, I believe, which is
President
Pro Tem. Are there any nominations from the board for President Pro Tem? We need a President Pro Tem.
I'll nominate Mark Simon.
I decline.
Okay. Well, I'll nominate Ray Tetro.
No, that's all right.
Well, then I will nominate Brian Dawson.
I am so honored.
Can you serve two? No, I'm just kidding. Okay, so are there any other nominations? Hearing none. Any comments from the public? Okay. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed?
Opposed.
3-2 vote. And that's it. Congratulations, Mr. Steele. The gavel is yours.
Okay.
All right. Oh, yeah, I got the same thing.
At this time, I would like to discuss the appointment of board members to district representative committees and the outside agency positions for 2012, item C2.
Okay, let me get there. I need some numbers somewhere. All right.
C2. Rick, why don't I turn over to staff?
Thank you, Mr. President, members of the board. This is that time of year where we would generally select our director appointed representatives and our alternates to serve on a variety of different agencies and committees within not only our district but also different agencies throughout the region. There's a list attached to the report. And I believe there are 12 different committee listings, so there are 12 different district appointed representatives as well as 12 alternate appointments as well. So with that, what we did last year, if you recall, the board president went down the list item by item and took input as to which directors would like to serve on those respective committees.
All right, so we have the community center district representative, and Ray, are you still interested in working on that?
Yeah.
Okay, I'd like to be the director. I'd like to be the lead on that. If you'd like to be alternate on that,
sure.
Okay. Contra Costa County Aviation Advisory Committee.
I still would like to be the lead on that.
Anybody else interested in being alternate? I'll maintain alternate. Contra Costa County Code Enforcement.
I can no longer attend those meetings.
So, Director Simon, you were...
That's during the day, though.
It's like at 1 o'clock, usually. On a Thursday, the last Thursday of the month.
I'm sorry.
Where do they hold it?
They're held at Supervisor Pifo's office in Brentwood. I attend those meetings when they hold them, unless something...
Put me on there, and if I can't go, then Rick will talk to it.
So do you want to be the primer on that?
Yeah.
I'm sorry, Chris.
So, Director Simon's going to be primary, and I'll be secondary on that. And then East Contra Costa County, the CSDA, who wants to work on that?
I'll continue on that if you want to. I mean, I'm fine with that. It meets very rarely. I think we've only had three meetings this year, so...
Mark and Ray, are you interested?
It's typically, it's either a 9 o'clock in the morning meeting or a 6 o'clock in the evening meeting.
Yeah, and they meet every other month, and they have one annual meeting where they elect officers.
Yeah.
It's an evening meeting.
I would take an alternate that if somebody else wants to take it.
I'll continue with the lead. Do you want to hopefully get it to Mark?
So, Mark be alternate?
Yeah, unless you want
to. Simon? Yeah, I mean, we need to all share the load on this. There's a lot of coverage here, and so let's see. East Contra Costa County Fire Protection District primary and alternate.
I'll fight to stay primary on that because I've been so involved. I'm not kidding. I would really like to stay primary on that because I've been so involved in those meetings, and I'm sure Chief Burrs would hate it if he didn't see me there.
So, Vice President Graves and Director Simon. Okay. East Contra Costa, East County Water Management. Looks like I'm set. All right. LAFCO. Anybody?
I wouldn't mind if you have a lot of stuff on your plate.
I believe those meetings are midday.
Start at 10 o'clock.
At 1:30.
1:30.
1:30 to 4:30.
1:30 to 4:30. Yeah, I know they've got a meet. I just got the agenda today.
Can you do that?
What days? Do you know what dates are? Is it
Thursday?
Day?
Is it on Thursday? Ruth, do you know?
I don't know.
Oh, that's LAFCO not.
I have it on my. I might have it right here, actually. Because I just got a notice. Carol, you just sent us a notice.
I'll maintain primary on that. Mark, you still should be.
Yeah, it's fine.
Okay. Parks and Landscaping.
I want to keep on that.
Yeah, I would want to stay on that, too.
Anybody else?
I'm good leaving it the way it is. I think you guys have got a good relationship going there.
Police Services.
Yeah, I'll stay on that.
I'd like to stay on that as well.
Fine with me.
Anybody else? School districts, I'm going to maintain that representation for primary. Who wants to?
I'll take secondary on that.
Okay. Transportation.
I'd like to, Brian. Is it okay if I take lead on that one? Because I don't think you did. You go to any? I shouldn't say it that way.
No.
I don't know how many meetings you attended, but I don't think that you were available for those as much as you wanted.
Totally
I'll take
fine.
Lead on that, and that
I'll be the alternate.
Okay.
Water and sewer vendor.
I'd like to stay on that.
We'll leave that the same?
I think that should be left the same. I mean, these guys have been entrenched in it.
Now, okay.
So, staff, can you review that with us one more time and confirm those?
Yes. I'm going to go just down the list. For the appointed director for Community Center, it would be Chris Steele with Director Tetro as the alternate. Aviation Advisory remains the same. Contra Costa County Code Enforcement, Mark Simon will move to the primary, and I will move in as a staff. Special districts, Director Graves will be the appointed, and Director and President Steele will be the. And Mark Simon will be the alternate. East Contra Costa will remain the same. East County Water Management Agency remains the same. LAFCO remains the same. Parks and Landscaping remains the same. Police Services remains the same. School districts, President Steele will move into the primary, and Kevin Graves, Director Graves, will move into the alternate. In transportation, Director Dawson will move to alternate, and Director Graves will move to president, and water and sewer will remain the same. I think that's correct.
Beautiful.
Okay, so I'd like to recommend this this list.
As appointees.
Yeah. It's time for public comment, please. No comment? Okay, let's move forward. So are we all on board with this? Call for a vote. Okay, let's...
Do you have a motion?
I'll make the motion that we adopt the director's, the president's appointed list as read by staff.
I'll second that. The motion's been made. Let's take a vote. All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Aye. Opposed?
Unanimous. All right, next item.
Area agency reports, sheriff office report.
Chris, you're going to have the highway patrol right there here.
All right, thanks.
Happy New Year to everybody.
Happy New Year.
I'll start by passing these around. I just tried to change it up today. A little variety.
Thank you, sir.
That's what, as it should be.
And the girl herself.
Thank you.
Everyone immediately always flips to their streets and looks, I know.
See if there's something on my street.
See if there's something good. In doing the report, a couple things came up. Unfortunately, the property crimes for the month of December are up slightly from the previous month. It's unfortunate that it happens, but the holidays often bring that sort of thing. People out stealing, you know, packages and Christmas presents and things like that. I'm sure you saw reports on the news, that sort of thing going on at shopping malls, and there were shootings and all kinds of stuff. Nothing that bad here, but it does carry over. We believe some of it is related to the fact that the kids are out of school, and we always see small spikes in property crimes when the kids are out of school. So unfortunately, those are up a little bit. But on a positive note, with regard to the property crimes, we got a good lead, and we've got a strong case on the one that's on Beacon Street.
Beacon Place. Yeah.
Beacon Place. I apologize. Beacon Place. As I talked a couple of times in the past, you know, I want people to call when they see something odd. This was one of those perfect examples. A neighbor saw a suspicious vehicle. People were going into an open garage. Looks like they were stealing. They didn't get away with anything, but the neighbor wrote down the license plate, called us. We were able to track the license plate to an address in Stockton. The vehicle is registered to the mom and dad of a young female, and mom and dad were very honest in sharing that their daughter is less than reputable and her boyfriend is even worse than that, so they gave us their home address. Our detectives are working with Stockton police, and Stockton shared that they're well-known burglars, both of them. So our detectives are working with their detectives to get search warrants and arrest warrants. Both the daughter and the boyfriend are on the run. Mom and dad haven't seen them in weeks since this happened, so we're not sure where they are. Well, we know they're in hiding because they know there's going to be a warrant coming out for the arrest. But once we get the search warrants done, we're hoping that some of the property found will help us close other cases as well, but we won't know until these search warrants are executed. So our detectives are working with Stockton PD on that one. So I wish we could take credit for it, but it all boils down to the public calling. That broke the cases. Getting the license plate number was huge. So, yes?
What were their ages?
Early 20s.
Because this was two houses from me. Mm-hmm. And my neighbor actually saw the garage door open, and he thought the owner was there, and he started calling him at 5 a.m., and the guy ran by him.
Ran not out of the garage.
So it was a close call.
It was.
Was there three
two.
People? Just
two.
Only two?
Two. Yes. Yeah, there were missed reports. There were two people and three people. We believe it was two.
Okay.
So, but anyway, that was a good one, a good example of neighbors taking care of neighbors and calling, and that was great.
Can we get control of Old Bridge and just close it so people from Stockton can't come over here, or is that not possible?
I'm not sure it's possible.
Okay.
We have to talk to CHP about
it. It seems
that.
Like you're spending a lot of time talking to the Stockton police.
I know. We're developing quite the relationship with Stockton. I'll defer to CHP on that one if we can close the Old Bridge, but it was another example, again, of people watching out. And then also on that same tone, a lot of suspicious circumstance calls this month, up from last month, which is good. And although that was the only one that led to any property crime leads, we made 3 drug arrests behind people calling in, just that vehicle doesn't belong in the neighborhood, those people are acting strangely. So that's a, you know, who knows what they might have done later, you know, it's all speculation, but it was good job on the part of the public calling that sort of stuff in and giving us a lead and giving us a reason to go contact people and then making those arrests behind it. So those have been some positive things, sort of to offset a little bit of the property crime stuff. That was really it on the stats, unless there are questions, but I also want to take a moment to introduce Deputy Dave Londono in the back. He's our brand new Discovery Day resident deputy. Replaced Deputy Spaulding, who went to investigations, as you know, so I just wanted to take a moment to introduce him. And then before I finish, I'm going to turn it over.
Well, I got a question for you.
Okay.
I'm sorry. Go ahead, Chris.
I had a comment.
Yes, sir.
How was the bombs and the fireworks this holiday? Did you confiscate anything?
No. Okay. We did get one explosive device, so I take that back. Yes, we got one case of fireworks and explosive devices.
Is that what the destructive device?
Yeah, okay,
That was my question.
Too.
Yeah, that was the only one that we had. So, not as bad as previous years. So.
Yeah, and I have one more comment. The traffic. We see a lot of trailers parked up on curbs and sitting around being dangerous obstacles out on the road. I don't know if there's some plans to go out there and start yellow tagging those guys again, but
we can do some of that. A lot of that falls to code enforcement, though.
Oh, all right.
Yeah, sorry.
So I'll let the deputies know, Deputy Longano is one, so when they're cruising around, if they see it and it's an obvious problem, they can deal with it, but it's really more of a code enforcement.
All right.
I have a question.
Yes, sir.
How many traffic citations have you written?
Me personally?
Yes.
I'm at about 12.
All right. So, you first going to a P6 meeting and you,
yes,
you first came out and you I've said got my first court
date. I've got my first court date in 2 weeks, as a matter of fact.
Very
so,
good, sir.
So, very yes, good. I knew those were coming too. So we got our first court date in 2 weeks to contest the ticket. So, yes, we're still doing that. I'm floating around more. At first, I was targeting specific areas that I was told these are
really
real problems.
Places to look at.
And after you hit them for a while, it kind of, like a fishing hole, kind of dries up. So you got to go elsewhere. So I'm kind of floating around a little more than I was initially. But I'm still. And the deputies are also doing some more, too, here and there. Not as many, because, like I explained in P6, when we write tickets and we then have to appear in court, it takes the deputy off the street. Now, if I'm off the street, no big loss. I'm just not in my office, so no big deal. But if they're off the street, that's a big deal. So they do write them from time to time, but we don't make it a priority for them, because the priority is to be there for calls for service and if the public needs them. So I do most of the ticket writing. So it's still a low number compared to, say, like Danville or Lafayette or Brentwood or even Oakley. But we're trying.
No, I just commend you for doing this.
Okay,
you.
You're welcome.
Thank you.
And before we wrap it up, I want to turn over to Tony with regard to the Cops for Kids, the toy drive that we had. Just a brief update on that. So.
Well, Happy New Year, everyone. Just a brief little synopsis of what we did. We had our Cops for Kid program in December. I think we had about 160 invitations that went out. We had a total of about 120 kids show up for the event itself. Some of them would ride, some of them without. And we were managed to get them through the doors and process them through our little Christmas event there, which was great. I wanted to thank everyone for the donations. Everything that was donated, it worked out great. Four individuals I'd like to acknowledge, Betty Estes, who's West Coast Graphics. She stepped up and she gave us a nice donation right at the last week beforehand, because we were kind of shy on bigger toys. Nick Harrison with Straw Hat, Safeway, and also Chris Cookson with the Boardwalk Grill. They provided food and the necessities that we needed for that hot lunch and feeding the people that were working there. It was a great event. It was a great success. A lot of people came. The kids had a blast. It was really good to see those little ones, you know, with a big smile on their faces. So I just wanted to say thanks again, and hopefully next year we'll do it again. Thank you, Kenny.
Thank you.
Sure. I just want to acknowledge from the board, I don't know how many of you know, but I want to acknowledge staff and whoever's here from staff that filled up that thing and actually went out of their own pocket and bought bikes and other stuff. And I want to say you guys did a great job representing the district, and thank you very much to staff for you guys stepping up, putting out the barrel, and putting money out of your own pocket. Appreciate that very much.
Thank you.
Thanks.
Thank you. It was fun.
We have the CHP here.
Officer Godwin.
Officer Godwin, please.
Did you ride your bike tonight?
I didn't. I can't hardly walk today, actually. I was riding it earlier, and I stopped somebody and twisted my ankle in the dirt and the shoulder, and now it almost probably won't come out of his boot. I haven't looked at it since noon, so I'm going to wait till the end of the day, because otherwise I might not get it back on. But Howard Troll says hi. Happy New Year to everybody. I know it's been a long time since I was here. As a matter of fact, I think the last time I was here, we were just implementing our new 10-hour shift schedule. We're a test area for that. And there was some question as to whether or not this end of the county was going to lose our substation out of the Brentwood Annex building that they let us use. And as of yet, we have not, which is good news for you guys, because they were going to pull, at that point, was six officers that stayed out here all the time between day shift and swing shift, and they were going to take them back into Martinez. And they decided to leave them out here. And they've changed our 10-hour shifts every month since it started. They've switched, like, when they start, when they stop, what the overlap is. But throughout all those changes, they've left the officers out here, which is very good news as far as coverage and response time. And the other issue is when they pull those guys back in, our system works on a seniority basis, so everybody shows up for work at the same time, and they say, okay, you have the most seniority. Where do you want to work today? And unbeknownst to me, because I worked out here as a beat officer for 5 years, and it was my choice. I liked it out here. But a lot of the people in our office don't, and they're new people, and they transferred here, and they live in other places, and they don't want to come work out here. They want to work next to the office. They want, because when things happen out here at the end of your shift, you're here for a long time. And when things happen next to the office at the end of your shift, they're over, and you get in your car and you go home. And so what happens is the officers don't want to come out here and work. And so leaving the substation intact has officers, one, that live out here, and two, that like to work out here. And they give you guys better service all the way around. And not having a different officer every day like you would from that seniority selection, it is a big impact. You may not notice it, but the guys that work out here, they get some random obscure location, you know, that has to do with hauling track and or Orwood or any of those places, and 99% of the guys in our office don't even know what that is. They would just be lost. And so it's been a big benefit for you guys. Just starting this time, or this year, we just brought on 20 senior volunteers, and they're being trained right now. And they'll probably, you'll see them around, I would say, I don't know what their training schedule is, but within a week or two, you'll see them around here. They'll drive our cars. They'll most likely have a placard in the window that says senior volunteer, and I don't know what their uniform will be, but they won't be dressed like us. But they will drive our cars. They're trained to deploy our radar trailer. I heard you talking to the lieutenant earlier about the vehicles, trailers and such that are creating hazards. They will be able to tag vehicles with our version of the same yellow type tag. And they keep a track record of that. And so when it comes back to the office and turn it in, it gets sent out to the officers, hey, this car was tagged at this day at this time, and creates a scenario where we can remove it, you know. And the officers honestly don't know every street and every hazard and everything. And if you bring it to their attention, then certainly they can come out and take a look. But there's so many places to go that they often don't see everything. So it's good news for everybody. There will be volunteers, and they'll be out. They are able to store cars, you know, that aren't part of a crime in progress or abandoned vehicles for the most part. But, again, it's better service for everybody out here because they're willing and able to come work. They want to be out here. And so from every angle I can see, it's going to be positive for everybody out here, I think. As far as last month, our stats for last month out here, I've probably explained this before, but the way we get them is we make a request to our division office that's in Vallejo. And they, every road and every area has got a number assigned to it. And we ask for that request, and they send it to us, and we usually get it right after the first of the year. And because the first of the year for this month is a holiday, we get the stats from the month previous. And so the information I have is not accurate as far as the holiday season. It is for the month before. And I was talking with Vice President Graves there earlier about it. Our DUI as far as November was concerned, and even though it does kind of kick off the holidays with Thanksgiving, right about on average. We had 5 DUI arrests out here in Discovery Bay Area, and we issued 77 citations. And consistently, I don't have the exact percentage, but 75-85% of those 77 citations are what we call PCF violations or primary collision factors. So they're going to be unsafe speed, stop signs, tailgating, that sort of thing. The rest of them are mechanical violations, like registration, lights out. But also in that doesn't, they don't consider talking on your cell phone a PCF violation yet either. So some of those citations are talking on the cell phone or texting while driving. They just don't show up in the collision factor location yet. But the legislature's looking at changing that, so I'm sure it won't be long before it is. So you should see more of me. Somebody mentioned earlier my transfer is in, but it probably won't be effective till June, and I'll be out of the area at that point. The other officers that are assigned to our team called the Community Response Team is Officer Brewer and Officer Pruitt, which you guys have probably never even seen them because they're not assigned to come out here anyway. But Officer Brewer and myself, if you have seen any enforcement on Newport Drive and Clipper Drive, that's usually us. We get consistent traffic complaints for those two roads. The school traffic, parents bringing their kids to school off Newport, and Clipper is just a bypass for people to get from one side to the other side of Discovery Bay. And so those are the two trouble spots that we know of and that we have on a regular rotation. And if there's others, if any of you folks here know of any others, or you guys know of any others, we're happy to address them. But those are the things that we focus on right now.
Any comments? Yeah, I was hearing that you're doing targeting distracted drivers.
Yes.
And what does that mean?
Distracted drivers, anybody texting or talking on their phone.
That's
what it is. It's just a general
term. Somebody putting a makeup on while they're driving down the road is not distracted?
Right.
Okay.
Because they haven't determined a specific section for that.
Okay.
Or drinking their coffee and smoking a cigarette and changing the radio at the same time.
I was wondering if it was all the things involved.
No.
Sorry.
No, it's part of that campaign. So.
You can still put your makeup on.
Can I?
out of curiosity, so on Clipper and Newport, where you focus, are you using radar out there? Or are you
LIDAR.
Using LIDAR?
LIDAR, yeah.
Okay.
There are some instances. Those areas are easy to use radar on because there's not 5 lanes of traffic all coming the same direction.
Right.
So I use LIDAR myself all the time. I know that Officer Brewer uses it all the time. And our reasons for me on the bike, I can only carry so many pieces of equipment.
Right.
And the LIDAR works everywhere. It's a little less convenient on 2-lane roads because the radar, you just pick it up and point it, and you got it. The LIDAR, you have to aim it, and if the wind's blowing and you're moving, it's impossible. But we use LIDAR primarily.
I'll remember that in court. The wind was blowing.
Yeah. Thank you for that. Appreciate
it. Possibly got the
speed of about a mile an hour.
So,
it was a 30-mile-an-hour wind, and he was leaning off his bike. There's no way it was me.
That's right.
You know, when I drive down Highway 4 in front of us, it says highway safety, you gotta have your lights on. What's the story on that?
That's a black and white. Well, is it similar to the same sign on Vasco?
Yeah,
it's a black and white regulatory sign.
Why don't we just...
Somebody, and I don't know who makes the decision or where it gets made in state government, that particular section of road is a safety corridor. And a safety corridor requires you to have your headlights on. A black and white sign is considered regulatory in nature, which means if you don't do what it says, you can be cited for it. And if you get a ticket, it doesn't say you were driving without your headlights on when they should have been on. It says you violated a regulatory sign. And there's signs like that all over the county for different things. The section is the same. But the sad thing about it is a moving violation. It does put a point on your record. It is traffic school. And so there was a gentleman here early last year, asked me the same thing about that on Vasco. And I said, you know, me personally, I won't cite it, but every officer has their own discretion, and legally they can. And I'll tell you what, Alameda County will definitely cite it. So you got to watch out.
You made that exact same comment last time somebody said that.
Yeah. I've gotten one from Alameda, and yes, they do.
Yeah, and you know what else Alameda does? That became an issue is they cite, they have their own municipal codes.
Yes.
And they sell that to you. We're going to cite you for this versus this vehicle code because the municipal code doesn't put a point on your license. You pay a fine and it's over. The money goes to them. It doesn't go to the county or the courts or anything of that nature. So
That's what I don't
know. That's actually, what you run into.
Actually, that expired on Vasco on June of last year. I got pulled over and got an administrative ticket.
Yes.
That you're talking about. And when he pulled me over and I asked him how many of these I could get, he said, well, they're used, supposed to be a deterrent. You're not supposed to get any more. So I guess I was missing the point. But he also told me that, and this was like in the middle of June, he says, on June 30th, the legislature has closed that hole now, right, and they can no longer use that. And you'll notice that they're not on Vasco as much because there's no longer a profit to them.
Right.
Because all that fine money goes to the Highway Patrol and to the state.
Yeah. For years, the Highway Patrol, as the state traffic enforcement, has been fighting the Alameda County because they want traffic funds. You know, they want to show, look at the traffic enforcement we're doing. You should give us funds for motor vehicle. Look at all this. Well, they weren't getting it because we were the traffic authority, so they created their way to write a ticket to get the funds from that. And then they put the squash on that.
But the legislature closed that loophole.
They did, and I'm not sure the specifics. I think it was, I had heard that it was, they closed it so they couldn't make any more to mimic what we had as a vehicle code already. Because every city has its own special circumstances that need provisions to be cited, but they weren't allowed to make one that mimicked a vehicle code already. That's what they were trying to accomplish.
I've got one more safety concern. It's from the hours of 7:45 to 8:15 every weekday. I've constantly seen high school students racing down from Discovery Bay down Highway 4, passing me, going over the lines, racing to Liberty High School. And I'm concerned about it because it's happened multiple times. I drive that every day. And they also do it on Balfour Road. But I typically see a teenager in an SUV or a little sports car, and an old BMW. And I'm concerned that they're going to have a tragedy there. And they look like they're barely 16 or 18. But it appears they're racing to school. And if we can get some coverage on that.
Specifically at Highway 4 going into Brentwood?
Yeah. I see them passing at Byron Highway and Highway 4 in the Union Cemetery area. And then I see them, sometimes I'll take Balfour, and they'll run the stop sign at Balfour and Byron.
Okay, perfect. That's exactly what we need to know. That time frame and those days. I work Tuesday through Friday. The other half of my partner, he works Monday through Thursday. And so when we have it narrowed down like that, then we can, it's much easier for us to go out. And because generally, you guys probably heard a thousand times, it's generally a very small number of people that you have to get in touch with before you can rectify a problem like that. Because it's the same, they got away with it once, and kids typically are...
Right, and then they make a right turn when they're going westbound on 4, they make a right turn on Sellers right there, and they blow through that light.
Yes. So, we'll, I just wrote it down here. We'll definitely...
I don't want to get careful.
Dropping a dime on these kids. Yeah. What's up with you?
I don't drive my Hummer all the time. All right. Well, I appreciate the report. Any other comments from the public?
Could you explain the new law on the child seat rule?
Oh, yeah.
I just learned about that myself, and I was a child safety seat installer for years. And I had just learned myself that it was 8 years old and that it had moved to that. So I got to find out myself. I don't have any good knowledge on it right now.
They're not really enforcing it?
Oh, there's people that can enforce it. I just don't have the expertise to be able to tell you about it.
Okay.
But within our office, there's probably 10 or 15 officers that are currently trained and certified for child safety.
It seemed like it used to be like it was an age or a weight, and now it's an age or a height.
Mm-hmm. 6 and 60 used to be.
Yeah. And now it's 8 years old.
And 4'8", 4'9".
I just had to buy one of those seats because I'm a volunteer, and I take a little 6-year old
around. And I guess what I was
around,
clear on,
so
I gotta get a seat for age or weight, but weight was more important, I think, before. And then
now it's
so if
age.
You had a 7-year-old who was 50 pounds, they should still be in a seat.
Yeah.
And I didn't know if I have an 8-year-old, but she's not 4'9". Is it age now, or is it height?
Well, you know what? I can find out that for you. As a matter of fact, I'll go out and make a couple phone calls, and I'll come back in and let you guys know. All right.
Thank you, Officer. Right.
Thank you, guys.
Thanks for coming.
Battalion Chief Burris, please.
Yes.
Really nice. Do you have to sit in the booth with me?
Should I take a turn?
Hello, happy New Year.
My wife's more
happy New Year to you. Happy
New Year to you. Battalion Chief Burris, East Coast Cross the Fire. The call summary for the month of December 2011. 31 medical calls, 5 structure fires, only 1 vehicle fire, 4 exterior dumpster fires, 4 automobile accidents, total of 4 public service, 2 lockouts, 5 fire alarms, and that pretty much was your month of December, up from November, from 51 to 54 calls.
You don't have you don't charge people if they continuously alarm. I don't. I'm just curious what the municipality is doing.
Yes, we will.
Oh, you will.
Yes,
oh, you will.
Yes, we will.
No turkey fires?
Christmas, New Year's Eve was actually quite uneventful, fortunately, for all the crews. It was very, very slow on Christmas, New Year's Eve. Fireworks were down quite a bit. We didn't have really anything catch fire this year, so it was quite fortunate. All of the structure fires were in Brentwood. We did have a couple out here, but nothing significant. Well, they were significant, but...
What's a lockout?
That's where you either lock your kids in the car or you lock your kids in the house.
That's it.
Or they lock. Yeah, they lock you out.
Yes. Yeah.
It's not you call locksmith or AAA. It's a person that's got.
Yeah. Usually it's somebody who's locked their child in the car. Usually it's the father.
Oh wow.
Or he gets blamed anyway. Doesn't make any difference.
The car is usually running.
Yeah. Any of the directors have any more questions? Any public comment questions? Looking good. All right. Well, I appreciate your time out.
The meeting is just coming up Monday. No. It got postponed for a week because of New Year's.
Yeah, nobody told me either.
Yeah.
Oh, well, we have Chief. The ECCF PD meeting is coming up on this next Monday.
Yes, it is Monday the 9th.
Thank you.
All right.
Thank you very much.
I'm happy to hear. our fire district report for our representative.
We didn't have a meeting yet because it was moved up a week. Right. And those I reported on the
Supervisor PFO's office.
Oh, I have a note right from that came from our friend Karen Cornell, and she is on vacation this week and will not be here. But she invites anybody that has any. Concerns to contact Mary, to Supervisor PFO's office at Brentwood, and extends a great holiday season to everybody. And obviously hers is better than ours because she's still on vacation.
Mm-hmm.
That's all I got.
One last thing. The grand jury report on your fire district is out and will be coming to the newspapers very soon. I highly recommend you all get a copy of it. If you feel that it's accurate once you read it, or conversely, if it's not accurate, please come to the fire board meeting.
All right. Thank you very much. All right, let's move on to item E, committee liaison reports. Anybody here from Transplan? No. County Planning Commission report?
Canceled.
No. Code enforcement, meeting canceled.
The meeting was canceled.
Okay.
Yes.
All right. No, close that. Item F, consent calendar.
Make a motion that we pass the consent calendar. Right. Unless anyone has anything they want pulled. Hearing none, yeah, I make a motion we pass the consent calendar.
Second.
All right. Ready to vote?
No.
Comment. Sorry, public comment? No comments? Okay, let's vote. Motion?
Yeah, the motion's been made and seconded. So
all those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Aye. Unanimous. Item G, new business and action items. I'll turn this over to staff.
Thank you, President Steele, members of the board, public. This item is here before you tonight. This is to authorize a contract with Bartle Wells Associates to conduct an analysis and recommendations for our capacity fee program. Back in 2004, the district adopted Resolution 2004-03, establishing capacity fee charges for water and wastewater services. Those fees are approximately $2,800 combined for the two. At our meeting, back on September the 7th, 2011, I brought a report to the board seeking input and direction as to whether or not the board would like to obtain an analysis such as this, and the direction was to do so. We put an RFP out on the street. We received two different proposals, one from Stantec, who you know recently completed our wastewater master plan and is also doing our bioassay field test at the wastewater plant, as well as from a company named Bartle Wells Associates. After a pretty thorough review of the two proposals we received, we decided to go with Bartle Wells Associates. They were about $1,500 more expensive than Stantec, but their proposal included more items, where in Stantec's proposal, some of the items were add-on items. So we actually are getting more for the same value. And the other thing that was beneficial with Bartle Wells, a couple other things. One is they're really the primary company in the state that does this type of work. They come highly recommended. And in fact, when I mentioned to Stantec that I would have recommended the other firm, his response to me was, that's an excellent choice. So they recognize the competition they were up against there. They're a local firm. They're in Berkeley, which makes it nice for us. But the other primary reason that I recommended them had to do with the fact that they are also heavily involved in the financing side of things. They become your financial consultant as well. And I felt that as we move forward with the master plans and the capital items moving forward, that we would need to have a financial consultant on board, and we can go ahead and test them out, so to speak, with this project. Like I said, they're very well respected up and down the state. This is what they do for a living, and I recommend them based upon their proposal and their fee and their overall response to the RFP. So if you have any questions, I'd be happy to answer them.
Any nurses? Director Simon?
Do you have a list of some of the towns that they've done the study for?
Yeah, they're included in their response to the RFP.
I did come across them. I don't remember where I saw them.
County of Los Angeles.
Under page 5, it starts with page 5. It says,
Marino.
Looks like a Riverbank, Newman, Rio Linda, Yerba City, Manteca.
Novato Sanitary District, Marina Coast Water District,
I think
the City of Fresno, and they just gave examples for companies that were, for clients were relevant to what we were looking for.
I'm just curious, in terms of the other ones at Contra Costa, like Walnut Creek, like Brentwood, I know their capacity fees are huge, and they justify them, and I'm kind of curious how they arrived at that.
How did they arrive at the number?
One thing I would, Rick, and I probably could do this myself, but maybe you've already done this. I'm looking at their extra pricing. You know, they've given a breakdown of what it costs per hour if they go over, correct? Under Appendix B on page 17. Is it comparable with Stantec to that, or did we do a comparison on that?
I didn't do it hourly to hourly, but I did talk to them about their fee structure. And their fee structure is their fee structure. Their cost is their cost. If they exceed it, unless we ask
by them, contract,
by
you have
contract,
to worry about that. Okay.
Unless we ask them to do something outside the current scope, okay, there would not be a fee change. And it's also indicated in the proposal, but he also made a point to mention that they've been doing this for 40 some odd years, and they've never had a lawsuit filed against their firm, and so I felt pretty comfortable with them and with the fee specifically.
That's all I have.
Public comment?
Could you just give the audience a little blurb on what the heck a capacity fee is going to be?
Capacity fee is that charge that is determined based upon the connection for a new home or a new could be commercial property, it could be a landscaping, it could be a residential property. The cost to connect to our system, albeit water, wastewater, if it's just landscaping, it would include all of that sort of thing. Ours were last updated, I think, in 2004, and it's certainly appropriate to do so at this time again.
All right, any other comments in the public? Okay.
I'd like to make a motion that we approve agreement and authorize the general manager to execute a contract with Bartle Wells Associates in the amount of $23,000 to conduct an analysis with recommendations for the town of Discovery Bay Community Service District capacity fee program.
Is there a second?
I'll second.
Yeah. All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Unanimous. Item 2, award of independent audit services for fiscal year 2010-11 through the completion of fiscal year 2014-15. Staff?
Thank you, Mr. President, members of the board, public. This item is before you this evening. We are required each year to have an independent analysis completed of our financial strength and our financial health. It's required of us by state law. We comply with that each year. The last 7 audits have been completed by the firm Croce and Company out of Stockton. The first 3 audits were done at one time. We had a backlog for a few years, I guess, and so the first 3 were done all at one time, and then they've been on an annual course ever since then. With proper accounting practices and fiscal management, it's appropriate after a 5-year engagement to go out and solicit a new firm or a new proposal from firms. And so that is what we did in this case. I included in the back of the report a best practices recommendation from an agency called the Government Finance Officers Association. They've been in business for over 100 years, and they are pretty much the go-to when it comes to public finance and local agencies around the country and even internationally. So what I did, working with our finance manager, Dina Breitstein, is we went ahead and we took those recommendations from GFOA, and we followed them in terms of the proposal that we sent out, the RFP that we sent out. We solicited 17 different firms. We received 3 letters back indicating that they were declining to submit a proposal. 13 firms did not submit a proposal, nor did they respond to the RFP whatsoever. And we had 1 firm submit a proposal, and that was Croce and Company. And so with that, we're recommending a 5-year engagement, 5-year contract with Croce for the fiscal years 2010-11 through 2014-15. And the fee is attached in each year. For the 2010-11 audit, it's $21,650. Over the total 5-year term, it's $113,250. I'd like to say that staff is very pleased with Croce and Company. They've done an outstanding job for us. One of the difficulties being a public agency in a relatively rural setting is that you end up with firms in primary business centers and population centers. We're not one of those centers, and public accounting firms that specialize in local government are also more. They're not as prevalent as say accounting firms that would perform audits for private industry. And so, in order to obtain a firm that does public agency accounting, and have one in our backyard and have one that works with us so well, I'm happy that they're actually. That they had actually submitted a proposal and move the contract forward.
Any directors?
New director. Though we're signing a 5-year agreement with them, every year we'll have a different lead auditor, right?
Not lead auditor. We would have a different audit partner.
Gotcha. Thank you.
The audit, it's nice to have the same audit team in place each year, so long as they stay with the firm for consistency. They know us. They know where everything is hidden. Not hidden is the wrong choice of words, but they know where they know where things are, and they know how to go about looking for what they need to do to comply with the requirements.
Forget
that on the tape, did we?
Yeah.
You know, in prior years, I was we had a treasurer. I was a treasurer, and I'd actually did go to their offices and when we had one of the audits, and found the company very professional, and I would, you know, we were comfortable with keeping them.
And just a question on the 5-year term. Why?
It's just a recommended term. It's a good number every 5 years, and 5 years from now we would go out and do it again. It's pretty standard operating procedure on a 5-year for 5-year rotation.
Any other questions from the directors?
I'm more concerned that we didn't get any responses, to say the truth. Yeah. I mean, I don't like to see, had we gotten multiple responses and then looked at a 5-year deal, I wouldn't have a problem with this. Mm-hmm. I'd like to see this as a 1-year deal, and I'd like to send the RFP out again in a year and find out. I think more people should give us a bid than this.
I wish that more had, Director Simon, and I can tell you one of the reasons more than likely they didn't. One is 4 years ago, we couldn't get an audit firm to come in here and do our job. We had a firm, we engaged them, and they walk in and basically walked out the door after spending a couple of days. Public accounting firms that specialize in public agency there aren't that many of them, and there's a small handful of them that really do this sort of thing. They specialize in it, for example. The other problem is you end up with firms that might be doing this, and they may have submitted a proposal. For example, there's a firm out of Bakersfield, Brown Armstrong. I really had hoped that they would have submitted a proposal, and some of the firms in the Bay Area, I would have hoped they would have submitted a proposal. The problem is they're for a small audit contract fee of approximately $20,000, they can't compete with a local firm that's in the neighborhood, because they're going to have to put up people in their hotels, they're going to have to pay per diems, they're going to pay travel expenses, and they can't compete. If it was a $100,000 audit, they'd certainly be able to compete with that. But if for a small audit like we have, it's just not cost responsive for them.
Well, they could quote it, wouldn't you mean?
They could quote it, but they...
It'd be way over what we're quoted from.
We're recommending a 5-year contract. It can always be eliminated at any point in time there's always a termination clause in each of our contracts. And each year I would be bringing back an engagement to the board. It's just that I don't have to go out, we wouldn't have to go out and do another RFP for another 5 years. Mm. That's really what we're, it's a time consuming process. So that's really the reason behind it.
Yeah, I agree. On an annual basis, we need to be reassessing our team partners there. Any public comments, please? Okay, no public comment.
I'd like to make a motion that we approve the contract with Bartas Wells. I'm in the wrong place. Coaching Company to be our audit company on a 5-year contract to be reassessed every year.
I'll second that.
All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Unanimous. I'd like to pause for a second. Officer Godwin?
Godwin.
Godwin.
Excuse me.
Yeah, sorry I had to go leave and then come back for that, but pretty important. 8 years or 4'9" is the law now. You could be 4 years old as long as you're over 4'9", then you're legal not to be in it. And if you happen to be 1 year old and over 4'9", then you don't have to be in one either. But it's either or. So 8 or 4'9". Obviously, the recommendation is stay in the seat as long as it fits, basically. And if you're not 4'9" and you're not 8 years old and it doesn't fit, then unfortunately you got to get another seat. But they'd like to see you in it longer. But that's the rules.
Nanny stay.
Okay.
All right. Thank you very much for that pick.
Thank you.
Item 3, approve and adopt resolution 2012-13 for the reserve fund policy for the Town of Discovery Bay Community Services District.
Mr. President, members of the board, this item is before you this evening in meeting with Dina Breitzing, our finance manager, and discussing this subject with her. One of the things when she came on board I wanted to establish was that of a reserve policy for our town finances. Back in 2008, the board by motion established $3 million to be maintained as a reserve, but they did not establish a policy. And so that's what we're attempting to do here this evening. We would like to establish a reserve fund policy for a couple of reasons. One, it allows, it provides staff the policy to know that if we needed to dip into reserves, we have to come to the board first and get that authorization to do so. It also tells the board, if you want to move forward with a specific project and you have to dip into reserves, there's a specific procedure in which to do so. It is also important that if, in the event that we do move forward with some of our projects relative to financing some of the upcoming capital projects we have, I've come to learn that a reserve policy is one of the first questions that's asked of me. Do you have this in place? Do you have that in place? Do you have a reserve policy in place? It's yes, yes, no. So the reserve policy is important. The financial institutions like to see what that is. Mm-hmm. For the town funds for water sewer, we recommend that the policy be established at no less than 25%. For this current fiscal year, that would be $1.5 million, and it's no less than. You can still have $3 million, $4 million, but it's no less than 25%. And that way you maintain a reserve that is acceptable and it's standard. The water or the lighting and landscaping districts are a little bit different because, if I'm not mistaken, Farron, those are state. There's some state requirements with respect to some of those. And so we're recommending that those be maintained at 50% respectively. So if you have any questions or have any questions about the reserve policy, Dean is here. She can answer some of those as well.
I want to know the percentage. It's based on revenue or is it based on our annual budget?
Based on revenue.
I think the town or city of Brentwood does a based on their budget. They go 30% of their budget is in reserves.
Generally speaking, the budget and the reserve, I'm sorry, generally speaking, your revenues and your budget are going to balance out to zero. So they should be a corresponding number. It should be the same. So it should be 30%. And I don't know if theirs is 30% of their general fund or if it's 30% of everything, because there's so many different funds that they have that we don't have.
I understand it's the total budget, and so I would say that 25% is light, and so I would encourage a higher amount there. I would probably push for 50.
Based on
the revenue.
The reason that we went with 25% was that's a fairly common number in terms of for an operating fund to have as a reserve for public agency. So we followed that line. It's certainly the board's direction, board's policy, that they can make it anywhere they want to make it. But the other reason why we set it at 50 was it gives the board the flexibility. If you wanted to
at 25.
To go down to 25, you can do so. It doesn't mean that you just can't go below 25. We need to maintain 25% every year. You can certainly go above that number.
We're setting policy here, so I'm thinking it's a higher number. But Vice President Graves?
Yeah, just for clarification, staff, if we were to take these recommendations and vote on this resolution, this would supersede the minimum that was voted in 2008 with regards to $3 million. Is that correct?
That's correct. You will still have $3 million, in fact, it's a little bit more than that now, in reserves, because it's 25%, no, not less than 25%. So that number will still be there no matter what it is, unless the board decides that they want to spend it down for one reason or another.
So to clarify, this just simply says we can't have less than 25%.
That's correct. Mm-hmm. As a policy.
Yeah.
As a I'm sorry.
I think Ray's got a comment here.
I just wanted to, either way, this is setting a policy, but either way, any expenditures from the reserve account has to come by board order.
That's the way we wrote the policy, yes.
Thank you.
Director Simon?
I'm a little confused here. We're talking about starting a reserve. We've always had a reserve. We've had $3 million in reserve for as long as I can remember.
But now what's the change? How do we determine what number?
That has just been an arbitrary... It was an arbitrary...
There's no policy.
There was no policy. This establishes a policy.
If we had $3 million today, we could have $1 million tomorrow. We don't have one.
This, Director Simon, all this does is it establishes a policy for staff as well as for you and the public to know that their funds are being properly managed, that you have a reserve policy in place, and that it's a that it's an appropriate reserve policy. The fact that the board took an action a few years ago to say we want to put $3 million in reserves, that's fine, and you can still maintain $3 million in reserves. You can have a policy of not less than 25%, but you can still, as a board, maintain that $3 million if you wish.
What percentage, for the $3 million, what is the percentage of revenue for that number?
Probably be 50%.
That's right. It's almost 50%.
A little less.
Go ahead, Director Tetra.
Well, you know, I hear the 25%, and I know it's no less than, but it's kind of a slippery slope. It kind of leaves the door open. I would like to feel that we, our minimum is higher than that, so I'd be more comfortable with like 40%, which would put it around 2 million or somewhere around there.
Just like not enough.
Yes.
Well, yeah, for emergency.
Hey,
or
you've heard me preach before.
$3 million is probably not enough.
During the budget committee, you've heard me preach before. I would like to have reserves exceeding $3 million. Mm-hmm. You know, you can blow through $3 million really fast in a major event. So I'm not discounting the importance of it by any stretch of the imagination.
Then make it 50%.
But the thing that I would caution you about is we do have some significant capital improvements coming forward, and we may have to front end some of those improvements.
Well, can't you dip into the reserves?
We can do that, yes.
But if you put it at 50%, then you're going to be dipping in, and how are you going to build it back?
The other thing is that each year our revenue is going to go up, so that means that number is going to go up. So maybe if we put the 40%, that gives us room that for the next few years, as the revenue goes up, we still, you know, we don't have to put in more than $3 million. I don't.
Can I make a suggestion? Because I think that's.
Go ahead, Vice President.
Probably what your suggestion is going to be, but I hear what Dean is saying, and I was thinking the same thing, is that if we establish this, albeit I'd like to see a $5 million reserve. I'm not saying, I don't think 3 months enough myself, but we're establishing a policy not to be less than, and we have some major expenditures we have to make coming up soon, and we're going to end up having to revise that policy if we put ourselves into too small of a box.
We're going to have to get a loan. But major expenditures, okay. I wouldn't say taking the money out of the
prison. So that's all I had to say.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
If I can suggest, we've got another policy that we're going to be bringing to you, hopefully at the next meeting. It's an investment policy that we don't have right now. There's no investment policy. We rely on the county, and we should be giving them some direction as well. So we're going to bring that to you at the next meeting. As part of that policy, one of the recommendations in that policy, we're saying that each year that policy, the investment policy, will need to be reviewed by the board because the financial conditions change each year. And I would certainly be supportive, and I think it would be appropriate, if in the investment policy we included that same type of language. So you could revisit it each and every year depending on what is happening within the district. We should be consistent. We should establish a policy. It should remain relatively consistent, but you can certainly adjust it depending on external needs.
My only concern with throwing above the 25% up into the 40s and the 50s is the fact that we are tying our hands in case something happens significant or because of capital improvement that we have to front the costs. I'm afraid of tying our hands too much. I want to limit the amount of money we loan as much as possible.
Borrow, as
much as possible. I'm just afraid that we would be tying our hands too much at 50%, even at 40%.
Well, there is a provision to use the reserves. The reserves are for emergencies.
What they're for.
So it's like,
is that
the policy states the capital and operating reserve is to be utilized, and this is the key word that we struggle with, unforeseen capital projects, things that come up. Perfect example, the sewer line.
Right, on that road.
On that road.
Cherry Hill. Exactly.
Cherry Hill.
Yeah.
Perfect example, it was a $100,000 hit to the reserve fund. We replenished it with this current fiscal year's budget, yeah. So we were good with that. When I'm referring to front-loading some of those capital projects, there may be some of those projects in that list that we've all seen mm-hmm. that the board might want to choose to utilize some of the $3 million for, or not, to pay for some of those projects. That's what I was referring to when I meant future capital projects. Not necessarily the unforeseen ones.
Vice President?
The board, when it does its budget every year, can replenish that that reserve fund up to whatever level it wants. I just keep going back to saying this is a minimum, and I think that if we decide that there's a project that we don't want to go out and get a small loan for, and we're doing something, and it may be an ancillary project to what we've already gotten a loan for to do. Maybe there's something else that has to occur when you're doing the ox ditch or a clarifier or a belt press or something, and you need, you know, it doesn't tie your hands with regards to the being able to use the funds that are set up for emergency. And every year when the board does its budget, it can set whatever level we want for that reserve fund. If we want to raise it to $4 million next year, then we budget it for $4 million and we find the money where through whatever means, whether it's a rate hike or whatever it is. But we can set that every year. Am I correct? We can set that reserve limit every year. We're not.
What's the policy?
We're kind of policy every year. No, we don't review the policy, because the policy says it's never to be less than 25%. That's what we're trying to do, is set a policy that doesn't ever have to be changed again, and yet doesn't tie our hands when we want to use that money between budget periods. At least that's how I see it.
Yeah, so it's not restricted just to emergencies. This is a fund that we can dig into when we need it.
Well, it kind of defeats the reserve type thing. The reserve is for emergencies, and so to me, it's like with that scenario, we're never going to have a reserve of $3 million.
The reserve,
we're going to have it running around $1.5 million, and I would prefer to see it.
Okay, you know what? That's fine. That's not what I said, but you can see it however you like to. But that's not anywhere close to what I said.
We should be replacing a mile of water and sewer every year, and we're not. And we set this at 3. We're ensuring that we're going to have to do some rate increases to keep it at 3, because we're going to have to keep putting money into the infrastructure reserve funds. I would be interested in a number higher than 25, but maybe like a compromise between 25 and 40. But I just don't want to tie my hands that much.
Staff?
Again, going back to the language in the proposed policy, to be utilized for unforeseen capital projects that are necessary to meet regulatory requirements, system reliability and future needs, and to cover cash flow shortages caused by a short-term unexpected disruption of anticipated revenue or when expenses become due before the anticipated revenue to pay those expenses is received. So it is intended to be utilized.
Ox ditch.
It's no, intended no. to be utilized when there is a situation there's a short-term situation, there's an emergency. It's not really to be utilized for ongoing operational funds. It's for emergencies. It's primarily for that emergency, that rainy day.
So you're saying reliability, you're saying we have a system failure and yes. you need that, your shredder or whatever's not working, we need a new one.
Yes.
Okay. I think unforeseen is probably the key word.
Unforeseen. Any more comments from the directors? Public comment, please.
You might want to address how much money you've also got set aside for capital repair and replacement account and the capital improvement account, which are separate accounts from this reserve $3 million.
We really need you on the microphone.
If you have a comment, you should come forward. For recording purposes.
Sure. You might clarify.
It's okay.
That we also have money set aside for capital repairs and replacements in another account, and capital improvements in yet another account, besides this $3 million in reserves. And that might address some of the concerns I'm hearing here. Right, Rick?
I would get my budget.
Yeah.
Thank you.
We have $150,000 in the sewer infrastructure replacement program.
No.
We have $40,000 in pumps and motors replacement.
No.
We have $100,000 in water infrastructure replacement. And we have $30,000 in facilities and vehicles replacement. Those funds are intended to be utilized, hopefully built up over the years, so that we can go in and put a major project together to do a couple miles of sewer line or water lines. I have another item for you a little bit later this evening on the agenda with respect to the deck replacement out front that would come out of the reserve, the building reserves on that. Not reserves, I'm sorry, the building replacement fund. Mr. Zeiler is correct. We do have another source of funds for things along those lines, but those are for regular replacement as assets depreciate, that sort of thing.
Any more public comment? Director or Vice President?
Well, I'd like to make a motion that we, because of the concern and what I've heard from the other directors here, I would like to make a motion that we accept the proposal as written, increasing item 1 to 30% of the waste and water annual operating revenue as opposed to 25% written in the policy.
I'll second that.
All those in favor?
Aye.
All those opposed?
Opposed.
Opposed.
So I do. Okay. Sorry, you were talking about. I don't have. I didn't hear the count on that. I need clarification.
It was 4-1.
No,
four to one.
And I voted to do.
Oh, did Director Simon vote no?
No, I voted yes.
Okay. No, so I didn't hear anymore.
Chris,
Ray and I voted no, and
oh, you voted no.
Yeah.
So then,
motion carries 3-2. Item 4, approve and adopt resolution 2012-2014 amending the Discovery Bay Landscape and Lighting Zone 8 fiscal year 2011-2012 operating capital improvement budget.
Thank you, Mr. President, members of the board, Farron Perez, Parks and Landscape Manager, is going to give that report this evening.
Good evening. Just bringing a budget revision for the Zone 8 landscape zone. There were some changes that have occurred in the capital as well as mainly capital and revenues and some small adjustments in just regular operating requests that I'm asking for some additional money on. I'll briefly go through some of the key points. On the total operating expenses, I'm asking for an additional $4,900. That's over various different codes and expenses that we need. None of them are too much that I think that they need to be discussed, but if you have questions, feel free. On the capital side, in the Parks Department, we had anticipated paying a lot more of our expenses last year on the Cornell Park project, and some of those did not hit our fiscal year last year, and so I'm asking for $39,000 additional, which is actually I'm not even sure to mention this right now. I'm going to come back again for another one later on because we just got our WW grant money, and so this really doesn't. I mean, this is going to be a negative by the end of the year. But for now, to make it balance, and where we're at, this was that hadn't been approved at that time. So,
all right. Director Dawson?
Farron, if we decide, as we talked about at the dog park meeting, to move the pickleball courts to Cornell, we're going to have to redo this again, right?
Yeah, but right now there's so many changes as we stand at this point in the fiscal year and before the pickleball courts and before the WW grant, that it was, we needed to bring this forward and talk about the extra expenses we're going to have, where we're moving money back, especially once we're kind of creating a reserve fund. We didn't set a reserve last year for this zone, so there's quite a few things that we needed to iron out even before then. Speaking of the dog park, we're taking that out of this budget. We discussed this, that we couldn't fit it at Cornell, so we're moving forward with looking at another location. The tot lot removal and the horseshoe pits are, I'm sorry, just the horseshoe pits and the bocce ball courts, we did receive some preliminary bids on that, and it looks like just for to redo the horseshoe pits, we're looking at $15,000, so and about $10,000 for the bocce. So if we want to do that, we're asking for an additional $10,000. Mm-hmm. The streetscapes section, there is a credit on the Discover Bay Boulevard, Sandpoint Road. There was a double payment last year, and that credit hit us this year, so we're actually making a positive change there. The Highway 4 East project, there were some things that came up with Caltrans where their encroachment permit requirements are fairly extensive. I actually have to hire an architect to do plans on that. We're going to have some pretty intense traffic control issues just to do planting. So that's going to increase that project, and I'm estimating about $25,000. The Discovery Bay Boulevard East project, which we completed in-house, came about $7,500 under budget, and total in our capital, we're looking at putting about $50,000 back into our fund, or now our reserve fund, after those changes are made. And then we also came into the year about 40, I'm sorry. We started the starting balance this year was $35,000 more than what we thought it was going to be, and we brought in $9,500 more in taxes. So with all of those changes, the total fiscal impact is actually increasing our year-end balance or our reserve balance by $90,588.
I just question on the horseshoe and bocce. Are those new courts or what's?
No, they're
what's
existing.
What's the 10,000 additional? The ADA?
Both are existing. And they're both completely need to be redone. They were made of wood and they're rotting and they have to be torn out and demoed and new put in completely on the horseshoe pits. And then the bocce ball courts are expensive mainly because of surfacing. The surfacing product is only made at a certain time of year, and it's very expensive to produce and ship, and you can't really source it very many places. And so,
and we pay for that. Is there any? You gonna put seating out there and lighting? Or?
Right now, the plan is just to fix what we have. I know we discussed that there was need for picnic tables or extra benches out there, and we can plan for that on our next year, but it's not in this budget to do that.
Vice President?
Well, first of all, on the bocce courts, I lived in Italy for a year, and you've got to have benches at the end for the little men to sit at. That's just, you have to have it at a bocce court, okay? I just want for clarification on this, Farron, my understanding that this resolution is coming to us basically as a budget amendment just to get the books balanced so we can move forward with the new expenditures going forward for the balance of the year. Is that correct?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yeah. But really, I just wanted some of these I need approvals for, like the Highway 4 project for increasing the budget. Right after this, I think we're talking about, you know, awarding a contract there and starting that project. And so,
any other director's comments, questions? Public comment, please. No public comment.
I'd like to make a motion that we approve this budget change.
I'll second that. All those in favor?
Aye.
It's unanimous. Item 5, award of contract to Gates and Associates for the design services for Highway 4 East, the planning improvement project.
Farron, Farron's going to go ahead and give you that report as well.
Okay.
Yeah, I kind of just discussed this a little bit. This section was already approved in the original budget, and then now just amended for to add additional $25,000. We are looking at the section of road from the east of Discover Bay Boulevard, so heading out Highway 4 towards the bridge, from on the north side of the boulevard along the fence or along the sound wall to the end of the sound wall. In order to do that, like I mentioned, there are some requirements, and this would be the first step in meeting those requirements. And we've worked with Gates on this will be our fourth project in my time here, and they've done well with us, and this seems like it fits within their scope. And this is their proposal for the services that we need for that.
The big change with respect to this has to do with the Caltrans encroachment permits and their traffic control plans that we did not incorporate into the original estimates, because we didn't know that we were required to do those at the time the budgets were put together. So that's the primary reason for the increase.
Directors, any questions, comments? Public comment, please.
I make a motion that we accept proposal and direct general manager execute contract documents with Gates and Associates in the amount of $8,350 plus reimbursables for Highway 4 East planning improvement project.
Second.
All those in favor?
Aye.
Motion carries. Item 6, agency comment request development plan modification for the Sandy Cove Shopping Center and Chase Bank. DP 11-3031.
Thank you, Mr. President, members of the board. This is a development plan modification to the Sandy Cove Shopping Center. Chase Bank is the applicant. They, as you can see in the attachments, they are requesting to put in a drive-through ATM kiosk that will eliminate, I believe it is, 8 parking spots. And it's that space that is located basically between the gas station and the bank itself. Again, they're just looking for board input at this point in time.
All right. I'd like to make a comment. That area of the shopping center is very congested, especially when we're routing boats and RVs and people rushing to get their gas. And I think it's going to bring additional congestion on those driveway inlets and exits. And I'm concerned about visibility and accidents. And so it seems like this is just forcing something into a space that doesn't quite fit. And you know, I think this is a bad location, and I don't support it.
This is a terrible location. I'm in there every day, in and out of there. You have people lined up, trying to, the Safeway's busy, the gas station's busy. You have arguments out in the parking lot, people screaming as smart as you've had fights break out in there, and that's right where they want to put this. You won't be able to park or move anybody getting in and out of this. It's a terrible.
What are they fighting over?
Who's in line first? Who's getting the
water? Oh, to get the gas. To get gas.
And then when the gas trucks in there 3 times a day, they're filling them up.
Then
he
really
blocks the whole
up.
Left side of the station off, and they all come in from where they're
from the other side.
It's so removing parking also. I mean, parking's tight there.
Bad location.
I'm just a poor boy with no toys, so I have no comment.
Any other comments from the board? Yep. So, staff, direct you to comments from the public, please.
I would agree with your comment. If I can do that sitting here.
You can.
All right. So the people of Discovery Bay have spoken, and staff, if you could respond to that request.
I will respond that the board took action, and I will convey the concerns of the board.
Sorry, need a motion for this?
Yes, we
make a motion that we direct staff to express the board's concerns over the project.
Negative concerns.
Yeah, maybe modify that the board is.
I modified to say against. Negative comments on the project. We are against it.
Second. I will second that.
All those in favor?
Aye.
Unanimous.
Oh.
You don't have a comment.
Yeah, I voted for it just because I go along with the crowd.
Item 7, authorize the contract for public access ramp replacement project at our town office at 1800 Willow Lake Road. Staff?
Thank you, Mr. President, members of the board. This is an item that I'm bringing to you. The access ramp that the public and staff and board and everybody that comes into the building walks up every single day. It was put in a number of years ago. It's been repaired a number of times. It's in disrepair. Some of the wood is rotting. The wood does not appear to be pressure treated. Some of the women, and Farron is, which I guess she's already left, she'll tell you how many pairs of heels she's ruined in it. They get their feet caught in it, there's trip hazards, the wood is rotting, and if you go out there and actually push on the side of the railing, and I took Derek Tetra out there today and pointed it out to him, it's very flimsy. I have concerns over it. I'm recommending that we replace the deck in the arms, the railings with this product, and I'll pass that along.
This is good stuff. I wish I had my.
Yeah, it's a vinyl decking. I did look into the cost of aluminum, like many of the docks are, and the dock ramps, I should say. And the cost was about three times this for this project. And to replace it in wood, I thought we would just be getting back into a long-term maintenance. This is a no maintenance. It doesn't need to be painted. It's good. And, you know, the question was, how long do you think we're going to be here? And I think we're going to be here for at least a few more years. And regardless of what we spend, we're going to have to spend something out there to either repair it or replace what we have.
Did you get a quote on wood?
No, I did not get a quote on pressure treated wood.
I built a lot of these decks and docks, and I've got a lot of experience at it. I think that concrete would be a better way to go, and I think that pressure treated wood would be a more cost effective way. And I think we need to get another estimate. I think that the cost is. I think there's plenty of deck and dock builders in Discovery Bay that are looking for work. I don't know how many bids you got for it.
I can tell you we shook the trees. We had ACS, the aluminum company. They would not even speak to us. They would not. We scheduled probably five different meets with them.
No. Don't go aluminum. I'm talking. Go wood.
I'm just telling you what we did.
Oh, okay.
The process we went through.
Who else did you go to?
We contacted a company out of Stockton. Frank Kramer did it for me. One of our part-time employees.
Yeah.
And I asked him to do it because his background is construction. And it was his recommendation not to go with aluminum because he, in talking to some of the people and he measured it, he just getting ballpark prices, it was about three times what this one was.
Yeah,
he got a ballpark estimate on the Trex decking, which was more expensive than this. Got the estimate on this that's before you this evening. And I did not go with the wood proposal because I felt that the wood deck is going to require long-term constant maintenance. It's going to require painting. It's going to require non-skid on it. This product comes with it. We put it down once. We deal with it once, and it's done.
It is an excellent product. It just seems a little big expense.
Yeah, I'll say.
Go ahead, Vice President.
Did you actually get a price for wood? Is that what you're
trying to say? No, I did not.
Oh, you didn't get a price for wood. I know Trex is more than this. That's actually a pretty reasonable price for a vinyl product, even though it is quite an expenditure. But if the board would like to see some other pricing, I'm ready to take action tonight, but if the board would like to see some other pricing, I don't have a problem with that.
I just see a price. That's probably over $50 a foot.
You can't really relate it to that, though.
I'm sure you can.
Yeah. It's not like a deck.
There's a ramp issue. The ramp issue isn't as important necessarily as the ADA issue. Make sure we meet the ADA slopes, which we can certainly do that with wood. I don't know that this is ADA compliant right now.
Is this include the engineering and?
It includes what they're recommending. What it includes is using the existing structure and they're going to build this structure over the top of it. So they're going to tear out
the top on
they're going to tear out all the timber. They're going to use the existing concrete structure that's below that, the support that's below that, tear up the railings and put this the decking in along with all new railings.
What's the handrail system?
Wow. It's a vinyl system similar to that.
Yeah, that's a pretty nice handrail. Okay.
How long is the existing ramp in place? I don't know how long it's going to be.
Since 03. It's been repaired a few times. It's been painted a number of times.
Is there a safety issue today?
Yes.
You know, there's some local guys. One of them is Doug Todd, who builds
that's
a lot of
bikes. Like,
this guy's local.
Doug's a golf course. We had bids when we did our house. I have four bids. Doug Todd came in so far below everybody, and the work he did was phenomenal. He did it 5 years ago.
Same
it's
product.
Flawless. And
same
then,
similar product.
Yeah, and then a year ago, I had a latch break. My one fence, that's all vinyl, has been out of warranty for 3 years. I called him. He said, I'll take care of it. And he came out and fixed it for free. I
don't know who he is. We will certainly explore that. One of the things we do have to make sure that we follow is that whoever we hire needs to make sure they have to have the appropriate insurances in place and the licenses in place. So we can just hire a handyman to come out and do the work for us. Well, no, we can't just hire a handyman to do the work for us.
Right.
As much as we'd like to, because it would certainly save a lot of money, he won't let us because I've already asked him.
If we're going to do that, I would like to get a bid on wood.
Sure.
Okay.
And the handrail system, alternate would be iron or something of that nature. I don't know. It just seems like if you could get a bid on the wood and the another bid from another contractor, such as
whoever Simon. Director Simon recommended, would be great.
So
I wrote it down.
Okay. Any public comment? No action at this time. Let's see, President's report. Director's comments and reports. Anybody?
None. I do. I have one. I have a aviation committee, advisory committee meeting that I went to. Actually, back in December, but we just haven't had a meeting. So let me just turn that into to Carol. And I would like to give kudos to our district attorney of Contra Costa County for replying to a letter that was written to him, expressing repeated comments that this board has been in violation of the Brown Act by Mr. Richardson, and it was nice and pleasing to see that the letter came back saying that, in fact, our council has been recommending to us exactly the right thing, and in fact, we're following the model that's been presented in the Brown Act in the way we do business here. And it was just nice to get that confirmation from the DA's office, and I appreciate that that letter.
Well, I'd just like to Vice President or Past President Graves for the efforts you've put in, and I know there's a lot of time involved. I do want to thank all the directors of this board and staff. There's been a lot of energy. I think we've had some good, we've made some good progress the last 2 years that I've been working, been along with you guys, and I would just continue that we do have some major fiscal hurdles ahead with the infrastructure repair and replacement, and we're going to have to really work together on prioritizing these budgets. We've got some big challenges ahead, but I look forward to that, and I ask for your support, and I appreciate the opportunity. Let's see. Is there any manager's reports, staff?
I just have two quick items. One is just a reminder. The 14th, which is a week from Saturday, will be our workshop from 9 to noon. So we'll go ahead and discuss that. We'll have that workshop at that point in time. I will have an agenda out next week, or early next week.
I think we're going to need a press release on that or something, because I've talked to Chamber, doesn't know about it.
Why don't we ask the press for a little help?
Well, it's now that time to do that, right?
Yeah.
You planned on doing, did you plan on...
I did not plan on doing a press release, but we do send out the agendas to the press.
It's a town
hall.
When
we send them out, it's our annual planning workshop with the board and the community Saturday morning, 9 to noon on January 14th. I will have an agenda out probably Monday afternoon. The second item I have for you this evening is our biosolids project will be out to bid by the end of the week, if not sooner. It might be out tomorrow. If not tomorrow, it'll be out to bid by Friday. We're looking at about a 40-day bid process on that. So we will be bringing it back to you either in a special meeting in February or at the second meeting in February to approve those bids. And that's all I have for you tonight.
Yeah, if you could just follow up, get an announcement out to the public on the workshop. Thank you very much. Let's see here. Legal counsel?
Yes, thank you, President Steele, board members. A couple of quick reports. First of all, the report from the special meeting, the closed session report regarding action item D2 was comprised of two matters. The first one was in regards to the Hoffman company's claim by a unanimous vote of 5-0 due to the claim being in part untimely, and for other reasons the claim is denied. In regards to the second item of the property at 4100 Windward Court by unanimous vote, the board has referred that matter to its insurance companies. I also want to give you two quick reports regarding the Brown Act. There have been three changes, and they are as follows. The first one is in regards to simultaneous / serial meetings of different legislative bodies. As you may recall, the definition of a legislative body includes you as a board as well as standing committees. In the event that you are holding a standing committee and a board meeting simultaneously, there is now a requirement that you disclose to the public which directors are receiving payment for attending both meetings and what the amount is. That also applies to serial, or what I call back-to-back meetings. So if you have a committee meeting that immediately adjourns and then goes right into the board meeting, you would again have to disclose that. The key is that whenever you have different legislative bodies, either back-to-back or at the same time, there's now a disclosure requirement that needs to be made, and I'll be monitoring that. The second change, which really doesn't affect you because you're already doing it, the law now requires if public entities have websites, they're required to post their agendas on the websites within the same time parameters as required for posting of other agendas. And then the final one actually comes out of the problems that happened down in the city of Bell. You're now prohibited from dealing with executive salaries, like the general manager salaries, at a special meeting. You have to do those at a regular meeting. Finally, there have been a few changes to Rosenberg's rules of order, which you have adopted as your rules of protocol and procedure. They are actually very minor. One establishes somewhat of a confusing process for establishing a quorum, but there's a caveat that you only use those rules if the law doesn't provide the definition of a quorum. The Brown Act already has done that for you, so that doesn't apply to you. And then the second is just some examples of vote counting, which I won't belabor the point. What I will be doing is forwarding to you the email address and website to the California League of Cities that has the new version of Rosenberg's Rules of Order, so you can access it at any time that you'd like. So unless you have any questions, that's my report.
Thank you, counsel. All right, moving on. Item L, committee updates. The number one, transmittal of the Community Center Committee final report to the Board of Directors.
Mr. President, members of the board. On items one and two under the committee updates, for the transmittal of both the Community Center final report to the Board of Directors as well as the Communications Committee report to the Board of Directors, I'm transmitting those tonight on behalf of those respective committees to the rest of the board and to the public, and it will be a subject matter discussion at our workshop. So if you have any questions about it, we can the members that sat on the committee can certainly answer any of them this evening, but it will be on the discussion. It will be part of the discussion for the workshop on the 14th as well.
Item 3, minutes approved of the regular community center meeting, did okay, and meeting minutes approved for the communication meeting November 16th, okay.
I want to add one more thing on those on the minutes, and I'm sorry to drag this out one a little bit longer. There were 3 meetings that took place where the committees never approved the minutes because the meetings in the with respect to the community center committee, they were pretty quick back-to-back meetings, and I wasn't able to get to the first one. And then there's also one for the communications committee because the work was completed from both committees. Those minutes are now complete. They are posted, I believe, or will be posted soon to the website, and they will remain as marked draft because the committees will not be there will not be opportunity for them to approve those minutes. I just want to let you know that they were there.
All right, thank you. Correspondence. Any action listed? Okay. Public record requests received? Any?
Nope.
Okay. Any future agenda items? I'd encourage directors to...
I have one.
Okay.
I'd like to see us start to move forward with the change in location for the pickleball courts. I don't know if you wanted to talk about that at the workshop.
Change of location of what?
From Slifer to Cornell for the pickleball courts.
That will be discussed at the workshop.
Yeah. I'd like to have a future agenda item to look at 10-year fiscal planning and discussion on that. And I have a second agenda item. I'd like to look at ISO certification or the environmental systems that are out there and see how we match up with that and consider ISO 14001 certification down the road.
We will look into those for you.
All right.
Very expensive proposition.
Well, not really.
Nope.
And then it could save a lot of money in the long run. Any other items? Okay. All right. Let's adjourn the meeting. Any motion to adjourn the meeting?
No.
Don't need it.
Change that for you.